The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Holy God, we thank you for this opportunity to gather as family, as a community brought together by water, by blood, and by spirit. Send that spirit upon us, that our hearts, our minds, and our imaginations may be filled with the possible. Amen. I'm going to do something that I never do. Kids, come on down. Let's do a kid's sermon. Come on. Let's go. Come on. Everybody up here. I'll wait till you get here. We're going to have to do this a little difficult. I am not particularly good at children's sermons. So I'm going to talk a little bit to them, a little bit to you, a lot to both of you. And for a little while, you're going to see my back. And my mother told me that was really rude. But it is what it is, right? Okay, good. All right. So in seminary, that's where I went to graduate school to become a priest, I had a seminary professor. His name was Walter Eversley. Walter Eversley was this extremely Anglican, uptight, serious Guyanese man. And he used to beat into us, there are two words that should never be used in a sermon. Now, you got to remember, he was a systematic theologian, not a homilist. He was not a preacher, but he felt it was his job was to raise good preachers in the church because nobody else was capable of it other than Walter. And Walter said there were two words you should never use in a sermon. One is the word me, and one is the word I. If that were the case, I would have been quiet for the last 20 years. I am just not smart enough to interpret the gospel through any other lens than the ones that God has given me. I interpret the gospel, I understand the ministry of Jesus through my experience of you all, through my experience of the community of the church, through my experience as a father and as a husband, as a son, as a brother somewhat. my sister's here. So I'm going to talk a little bit about me. And I want you to think about how your experience, how your understanding of the world that you inhabit, the world that you live in, teaches you about Jesus, okay? Today is the anniversary of the 20th anniversary of my ordination to the priesthood. And as I've been... I am well aware that half of you are faking it. But as I reflect on that, this is a really important time for me. And as I reflect on that, one of the things that has become very clear to me, and I think most people who have heard me preach before know this, that baptism is a major part of the foundation on which my belief system, my understanding of who I am and whose I am, comes from, okay? And so, when I think about baptism, I think about a lot of different things, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a few minutes. But today we also celebrate the baptism of Jesus in the River Jordan by John the Baptist. It's just one of those great coincidences that these two dates for me personally fell together. And it just makes it that much more special because, you know, everybody likes Christmas and most people like Easter. I'm a kind of a Pentecost guy, you know, but the first Sunday after Epiphany, the Sunday where we celebrate Jesus' baptism, to me is actually one of the liturgically and theologically most significant days that we celebrate in the church year. And why is that? It's because it's that moment when we see Jesus present himself to the community in a very, very human form. You know, John's like, I can't baptize you. There's a longer story in another gospel, and maybe, some of you probably know it, and if not, maybe you can find it, or your parents can help you find it, or Priscilla, but where they talk more about the story of John and Jesus. But Jesus goes to John, who's his cousin, his older cousin, and he says he wants to be baptized, and we know the story, right? We know of John, you know, in the River Jordan. Here's a little cartoon of John baptizing Jesus in the River Jordan, and there were all these people would come to John to be baptized, and it was kind of cool, and it was a way of celebrating who we are and of being cleansed from the things that were keeping us from having a more holistic or a holier relationship with God. And so Jesus is in this line to be baptized by John, and that's just so weird because Jesus gets up to John, and John's like, I can't do this. I can't baptize you. You're the Messiah. You're the Son of God. You're all these things, and I'm just this guy, and you know, who's trying to do the best he can, but I'm just this guy. And Jesus is like, no. If I'm going to be a part of this, you need to baptize me. So baptism becomes that moment when we see Jesus present himself in a very human way, a very human understanding of how he was going to be in the world, which is really neat. I think it's really neat. So close your eyes for a second. Everybody close their eyes. You've walked quite a distance. You've come to the River Jordan. There are dozens and dozens and dozens of people there waiting to be baptized by John. You're in a line on the side of the river, and finally you get a chance to enter the river. It's cold. It's early morning. You can feel the sand between your toes and the cool breeze coming through the trees over the water on your face. Maybe a little shiver, depending on what time of year. You come up to John. He's there, he's a big man, he's imposing, lots of hair, funny clothing. You can kind of smell his essence, the wind, John, the water lapping against your legs. He reaches out and he grabs you by the shoulders, lowers you into the water, and rises you up. The wind blows the water from your face and your hair, and you just feel different. You don't know why, but you just feel different. And then you watch a whole bunch of other people do the same thing, and at one moment, this man comes, and the crowd parts, and Jesus, this guy you've been hearing about, arrives, and there he is, and goes through the exact same thing that you just did. John grabs him by the shoulders, lowers him to the water, and lifts him up. Open your eyes. Who remembers their baptism? Okay, great. I happen to really like infant baptism. I think it works for me theologically and liturgically, but I think there's something that we lose when we don't baptize people at an age when they remember it. We do confirmation and stuff like that, but it's just different. So I think it's really neat when I know people who remember their baptism. I don't remember mine. I was 5 months old actually to the date. My baptismal date was March 28th, 1964. I was 5 months old. Don't remember it. But then I don't remember what I had for dinner last night, so what do you got to do? Okay, well, we got a problem, guys. We got a problem. Who baptized Jesus? John. Okay, who baptized all those other people that were living at that time around Jesus and John? Who baptized them? John. But we don't have any Johns around, do we? John the Baptist died a long time ago. I mean, he'd be 2,000 years old. Nobody's done that yet. Okay? But the church, in its questionable wisdom, and God, with an imagination too great for any of us to understand, has asked some men and some women through the ages to take on that job, to baptize people, welcoming them into this community of love and faith that we live in today. And I happen to have been lucky enough to be asked, and silly enough to say yes. I have a couple pictures here I want to share with you guys. This is the very first baptism I did. I had been ordained for 6 months. Does anybody know who that baby in my arms is? Nope. It was 19 years ago. Who would it have been? Madison. This is my daughter. Most of you know Madison. Madison is not little like this anymore, is she? She's like this. This is when she was sweet. And I had brown hair. The woman who developed this at the pharmacy says, "You look so..." I'm like, "Young." Yes, young. Okay, so that's the first baptism I ever did, 19 years ago. These are the three first baptisms I did here 13 years ago. Nora Wilson, Nora Sherrill, and Ingrid Danowski. Now, you'll notice that Nora was a little bit older then. She's a little bit older now, too, which was really cool because when Nora was baptized, we put a little stool here, and she was able to climb up on the stool and stick her head over the water. Nora Wilson was a cute little baby in a white dress. And Ingrid Danowski was a very little baby with her thumb well implanted in her mouth. But they grew up. Isn't that cool? I was going through the books the other day of the church. We keep records of all this stuff. In the time that I've been here, not since, I didn't count back from the time of 18 whatever when this church came, but for the 13 years I've been here, Grayson, the little boy we're going to baptize today, will be the 160th baptism we've done in 13 years. 160th baptism. What's interesting about that number is about half the people I can't put a face to and the other half are still here. And many of them, extremely active. So baptism touches people in different ways. Families respond to it in different ways. And one of the things I want you guys to do when you go home, sometime this week, maybe this afternoon, whenever you get a chance, I want you to ask your parents to tell you the story of your baptism. When it was, where it was, and if they can remember, I know some of your parents, who was there. And then I want you to find out that date. My baptism was on March 28th, as I said. This is my baptismal certificate. It hangs very proudly next to my ordination certificate in my office. Now, this is much bigger, isn't it? But let me tell you, this is much more important. This gives me certain rights within the tradition of the Episcopal Church. This makes me a full-fledged member of this community, just as your baptismal certificate does too. So what I want all of you to do, all of you, if you do not know the date you were baptized, find out. If you were baptized here, I can do that for you. If you were baptized somewhere else, maybe your parents could find it out. And for you all, if you were baptized somewhere else, find out where you were baptized and that church can find out the date. You give them basically your age, what you roughly remember about when it was you were baptized. And if you do not have a baptismal certificate, if you guys do not have baptismal certificates, you ask that church to reproduce one for you. Okay? I'm so totally serious here. We do it all the time. Get your baptismal certificate, put it in a little frame, and put it in a prominent place in your bedroom so that when you wake up every morning, you can see that certificate and that it says, somebody cared enough about me to welcome me into the church, to welcome me into the church, into this community of love. All right, guys? So find out the date, find your certificate, go get a cheapy little frame, whatever you want to do, you can get them anywhere for $1.99, and stick it on your dresser, hang it on your wall. Do that. It's a very, very important reminder. It was an extremely important date to God. It should be important to you as well. So, what's fun about all this is that people still go to the river where Jesus was baptized. It's a big pilgrimage site. In fact, here's a picture of people lined up to be baptized in the River Jordan at what is not quite the traditional site of Jesus' baptism. They had to move that because the water flow changed. But it's basically the same place. And you can see they have like rails set up so people can move in and out of the water safely, but they still get to walk in that same sand and that same dirt and that same mud that people have for over 2,000 years. Isn't that cool? I mean, I know I'm a serious church nerd, but this is cool. Lots of pictures on the website. We have something even more special today, though. We have Mrs. Laws, Judy Laws, right over here, just came back from Israel. And she brought us, the water's in the bag now, I need to fix that. Guess where this water is from? The River Jordan. How cool is that? So today, when we baptize Grayson, we're going to add just a few drops because we want it to last a while. We're going to add just a few drops of this water into this baptismal font. And so when you all come up to help me sanctify this water and you place your fingers in the water, you are going to be touching water that came from the same place that Jesus was baptized. It's pretty cool, isn't it? Yeah. So we're going to do that. And then I got to find a container that's going to hold that water better. Now, I mentioned that there's a number of ordained people in this parish. People like Curtis and I. And we were invited by the church and asked by God to be a part of this particular part of John's ministry. But you were asked to do a more important part. You were asked to welcome people into the community, to be the folks who gather, to be the folks who remember, to be the folks who tell the story of Jesus. That's your job. And then maybe someday, if you can't find a real job, just kidding, I love my job actually, someday somebody might tap you on the shoulder and say, have you ever thought about being a priest? And you're going to say, I don't think so. I've known a few in my time. And then you're going to think a little bit more. And you're going to wait to feel whether there's something going on inside you that says, you know what? I might be able to do that. You know what? That might be a really interesting thing to explore. So I'm going to ask you to do me another favor. I'm going to ask you to just keep that somewhere in your heart and mind. And if somebody ever reaches out to you and taps you on the shoulder and says, might you be interested? You at least think about it, okay? A lot of people have, a lot of people do. And there are very few places that you can work in the world that are such a privilege as to be able to live and work with people like you. That's our privilege. And we thank you so much for being a part of that. You guys ready to baptize Grayson? Awesome. Amen.